Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Partner Gateway version 6.2, migrating previous releases to WPG version 6.20. Today's presenter is Max Terpolilli. Max joined the WPG L2 team about 5 years ago. He works closely with customers and development to drive WPG products to succeed in the marketplace. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Max.
Thank you, Joseph.
Welcome to our WSP on migrating the previous releases of WPG 6.0. This presentation is meant to provide a quick reference to the WBIC or WPG user that plans to migrate from the previous 4.2, 6.0, 6.10, or 6.11 releases to the current WPG version of 6.0. Let's move on to slide 2. This is the agenda, the table of contents. The presentation layout is structured in sections, and at the end of each section, we will open for questions to allow the listener to ask for clarification when the subject is still fresh. So let's move on to the next slide. This is the migration roadmap slide, which contains an overview of the steps necessary to perform the migration, the various releases, and we'll let the user navigate the subsequent chart in this presentation when we will drill down each step. So we will start with the pre-migration common tasks that are necessary regardless of the starting release you want to migrate from. Then in step B, we will see how the migration to 6.0 requires different approaches depending on the release we start from. That is, if we want to migrate from any of the 6X releases, the process can take advantage of the automation provided by the smart migration feature, whereas manual tasks are necessary when WBIC 4.2 is the starting release. So in step B1, we will see the specifics of the WBIC migration, which is going to involve some manual tasks to reach an intermediate 6.1x stage. From that stage, then we can take advantage of the smart migration feature to complete the migration to 6.0. The step B2 section deals with migrating WPG 6x to 6.0 using the already mentioned smart migration feature. Then once the actual migration is completed, there are post-migration tasks that are added. Some of them are common, other steps specific to the release we migrate from. There is then, as we saw in the previous table of contents slide, one last appendix section reporting the actual screenshots of some key points in the migration process. Okay, let's move on to the next slide, slide 4. Here we have the pre-migration common task entry slide, so let's move right along to the next chart. Let's go to slide number 5. Slide number 5 reports some common pre-migration tasks. The first step, which is very much recommended, is to take a backup of all key elements such as the database and the file system. By doing that, you will pave the road to go back if something goes wrong. Then upgrade the OS and the OAS. And at the very bottom, there is the system requirements link for a complete reference of the hardware and software needed for WPG 6.0. Let's move on to slide 6. The next three charts go in more details on the various modes, because this is a mandatory decision that the user needs to make before starting the migration. In this slide, we have the simple mode where all WPG components, receiver, document manager, console, are installed in a single WAS-based server. In this case, no deployment, no network deployment cell topology and consequently no clustering, workload management or high availabilities is available. As a comparison to the previous WBIC and the WPG 6.0 versions installed in a single server, WPG 6.0 simple mode only has one server, which means only one JVM compared to the three JVMs in 6.0 or 4.2.2. In simple mode, no messaging up server is needed because the messaging between components is handled by the single up server that runs the WPG applications. The database and common file system can be either in the same or different machine. Let's go on to slide number 7. Here we have the simple distributed mode. With simple distributed mode, the WPG hub application components can be installed in different machines within a WAS network deployment cell. In the distributed setup, WASMD is required because the ND cell provides scalability as well as high availability features. The ND cell includes the deployment manager, which manages all the nodes in the ND cell. The WPG applications are installed in an app server, which becomes a member of a cluster within the ND cell. At any time the need arises, additional members can be added in the cluster. To create, for example, a new cluster member on a separate machine, you have to install the same WPG app server on that machine, and the new member will be added to the existing cluster. A messaging app server is needed to handle the messaging between the WPG components, which was handled by WebSphere MQ in the releases pre-X1X. Similar to the WPG app servers, a cluster is also created for the messaging app server, and additional members can be added if or when needed. Depending on the configuration chosen, simple distributed mode can provide the high performance and the scalability features typical of the distributed mode installations. In this slide, there is a sample of three configurations to give you an idea of the possible combinations. You can have the three WPG applications installed in the same app server, and then have the BCG mass app server in the same node. The workload management and the HA can be provided installing the same configuration on a different machine. Let's move on to the next slide, slide number 8. When full distributed mode is used, the WPG applications are each defined in their own WhatsApp server, and they can be on the same node or different nodes. Since this is the most flexible mode, the WPG applications can also be selectively included in the same app server, as shown in the variation picture. Each app server is in its own cluster, and again, as mentioned earlier, new cluster members can be added if needed to provide scalability and high availability. Maybe a couple of more considerations as a final mode for the distributed environment. Each of the app servers is a member of the WPG CBUS, which is called the BCG bus. And then, to be remembered, when a mass cluster contains more than one mass server, only one message engine will be active at one time, and all WPG components will communicate with the active mass ME. If the active mass ME goes down, then the other mass ME takes over. Okay, let's move on to the next slide, slide number 9. This concludes the pre-migration actions. Let's proceed with the next section, which deals with the manual steps necessary to migrate WBIC 422 to the intermediate step of 611. So let's move on to the next chart, slide number 10. With this slide, we're going into the details of the actions needed before we start the actual migration. We need to copy somewhere in the file system the property files of the WPG components. These files will be used to migrate the attributes values into the new 611 location that is in the database, which would make them accessible to the console. You can change the values of these attributes to the console. Same thing for a couple of jars, the common and the BCG SDK. They also need to be saved in the file system, but this time in a specific location that you have to create, which is folder migration / lib under the 611 BCG hub folder. Let's go to the next slide, slide number 11. This is the first slide of the WBIC database migration to WPG 611. We can uninstall the WBIC DB loader, but make sure not to drop the database because we need to migrate that onto the WPG 611 database. After uninstalling the previous release DB loader, we can install the 611 version, but do not checkmark the box to run the SQL files automatically that is prompted to you during the installation. Speaking about of databases, if your choice is to install using one of the distributed mode, then go ahead and install the master database as well. Okay, let's move on to the next slide, slide number 12. Depending on the database type you're using, before running the actual migration script, you need to perform some preliminary steps. Like for Oracle, you need to reset the database permissions to the user ID that the WPG uses to connect to the database. For DB2, just connect to the saved WBIC database. And next, run the migration scripts depending on the maintenance level of your current WBIC product. But we can see this better on the next slide. So let's go to the next one, slide number 13. Now, this slide perhaps looks worse than it should. The bottom line here is that if you have WBIC at a level lower than FP4, and nowadays I don't think there is anybody with the maintenance level at that low. However, if the maintenance is lower than FP4, you will need to install the maintenance up to FP4 and then run the migration script, the first one in blue. That will migrate the database to the 600 version. Next, it will be like installing the version 6 maintenance until you get to 6-pack 5. Once you get to that level, the second script in blue will complete the migration to the 6.10 version. And then again, apply the 6.10 maintenance until FP2 in order to run the migration script to 6.11, which is the last entry in blue. So let's move on to the next slide, slide number 14. In this slide, there is just a reminder that after completing the migration scripts, you need to run the set grants to grant permissions to the users. So let's move on to the next slide, slide number 15. Here we have a step that applies when you're migrating to 611. We found out that the 611 migration corrupts one of the application database tables, the CF guidelines map, precisely. So the recommendation here is to back up that database table before running the 611 migrate script. Then run the migrate script, then replace the corrupted table with the one saved in step one. The pre and post SQL scripts are made available through a tech node in our website at the URL indicated at the bottom of the slide. Okay, let's go on to slide number 16. This is an optional step which the user can take advantage of, that is the partitioning of LG-MSG archive table. The detailed steps to perform this optional task are written in the instructions .txt file located in the dbloader folder. And this completes the database migration, so we can proceed next with the installation of the hub components. So let's move on to slide 17. Before installing the new hub, we should uninstall the WBIC hub first, then install the WAS61 platform, which, depending on the chosen mode, can be base or ND. Next, install the WPG611 mode that you determine is best for your environment. During the installation, remember not to create a new common folder, but use the one saved from the previous version. Very important, notice the port change, which is different depending on the mode used. This is especially important for the receiver in simple or a simple distributed mode, because the default port is changed from 57080 to 58080. So you need to notify the partners about the change or correct the load balancer configuration if such configuration is used between WPG and the trading partner world. So go on with slide 18. Here we have the layout of how to proceed with the hub installation, which varies depending on the mode. The main difference is that you would need to install the deployment manager and the MAS for the distributed modes. As mentioned earlier, remember to select the common folder from the previous installation and the migrated database. Okay, let's go to slide 19. WPG61X components do not maintain property files, like in the previous versions. Now the properties can be accessed from one central place, which is the WPG console. But we can migrate the current attribute values running the BCG prop migrate script, and passing the location of the saved property files as one of the script input parameters. Also, in 611, the BOD is serialized in the database. So if you want to be able to resend the older transactions via 611 console, you need to run the BCG BDO migrate script, which takes the old BDO files from the file system and copy them in the database. When you do this step, you have to make sure that the common and the BCG SDK jars from the previous installation are copied into the folder migrate slash lib under the 611 BCG hub folder. The footnote reports the link to the URL detailing the problem and solution of a no-class that found error that may occur when running the BCG video migrate. Let's move on to slide number 20. So let's proceed with the next section, which deals with the migration from the 6X release to 6.0. Let's move on to the next chart, chart number 21. Before we start migrating, there are some actions we need to do which varies depending on the release we want to migrate. This slide specifies the actions needed for the 600 release, which, like WBIC, keeps the components attribute values in some property files, as we mentioned earlier. And we need, again, to save these files in some backup directories before we will use them to load the attribute values into the 61X database location. the user will then be able to manage them, as we said, through the community console. Again, we also need the common and the BCG SDK jars in the saved in the file system in the migration slash lib folder. The application and NAS database users also need to be created and added into the BCG group. The application NAS database users are the NAS database was not present in the previous release in the 6.0 or WBSD releases, so it needs to be created. And the application user also changed, so we need to add these users in the BCG group. And lastly, if you chose a distributed topology, then you have to install the NAS database. So let's move on to slide 22. If 611 database is Oracle and is the result of an earlier WBIC migration, then before running the smart migration, we have to drop some of the invalid packages by logging as WPG owner onto the SQL class. Let's go on to slide 23. One more item needed before starting the WPG 6.1x migration is to back up the security files. That is the product key store and the trust store. The reason being is that these files are created when you install the hub. So if you leave them in the common file system, they will be replaced and lost, basically. By making a backup, we make sure that the original ones can be restored after the migration. Okay, let's move on to slide 24. I'm back on in the conference. Now, we're ready to move on to migrating the 6x database to 6.2.0, to the 6.2.0 level, which is a fairly easy task using the smart migration feature. In fact, when running the DB loader, like you would install the database, you will be prompted with the option of migrating the existing instance. Select that to proceed with the automated database migration. After the task is completed, the logs in the usual temp folder can be reviewed for successful completion. Let's go on to slide 25. After the database migration completion, you can move on to perform the same task for the hub. Now, there are a couple of options the user can choose from here. Migrate to the default WPG cell or migrate to an already existing cell. In the first case, you'd run the WPG Hub installer and select the Migrate to Existing Instance option. When prompted to enter the database and the common file system specifics, choose the database migrated in the previous step and point to the saved common file system. For the distributed mode, this operation has to be repeated for, of course, for all other hub boxes. Let's go on to slide 26. If you want to migrate onto an existing cell, then things get a bit more complicated. In this situation, you will have to uninstall the existing WPG 6X hub. While doing this, make sure not to select to uninstall the common file system. Then uninstall the 6.1x deployment manager and the MAS database. Install the 6.2.0 MAS and finally install the WPG 6.2.0 hub as a new instance, pointing to the existing deployment manager. Then, you can proceed with the installation, and when prompted, select the migrated database and, of course, save common file system. Let's go on to slide 27. And with this, the actual migration is completed. So let's proceed with the next section, which deals with the post-migration actions. Let's move on to the next chart, slide number 28. Let's start with the common actions, like upgrading the database to a WPG 6.0 supported version. The link to the system requirement site at the bottom of this slide can be referenced to check the various supported database versions and editions. So let's go to slide number 29. If X509v1 root certificates are used, then use the IBM PKIX Trust Manager instead of the IBM X509, which is the default. So let's go on with slide 30. If you have the need for more than one internal partner, then you can take advantage of this feature and put a property in the console as indicated in step one, which will permit the change from internal to external in the partner profile attribute partner type. To be noted that it is strongly recommended to use this feature only during the migration process and do not touch it once you start running the product, because it may pose a serious risk threat to the configuration of your system. Let's go on with the next slide number 31. A couple of recommended HR fixes that needs to be applied. The IFIX JR 31639, which provides support for SSL authentication at internal partner level, as well as important SFTP fixes. Then HIPAA fixes JR 32607 and JR 33176, addressing database vulnerability to SQL injections. Let's move on to the next slide, slide number 32. Now, for actions related to the specific releases, in case our starting release was 6.1x, you will need to replace the trust store and the key store with the ones saved as mentioned in the pre-migration section. Let's move on to slide 33. Same thing for WBIC or WPG 600, with three main differences from what we saw previously for the 6.1x release. The file names are different, so we have to rename them. Then perform export-import operations using ITMN if you want to use some of the certificates in the old console trust store or key store. Last but not least, if client authentication was set to true, then you need to manually restore it to the script. Let's move on to slide 34. Still referencing the actions necessary when the original release was 422 or 600, if you have items like XML formats, external JMS integration, and the user exits, then you need to perform some additional steps to make them work on WPG 6.0. In this case, you need to use the console to edit the XML format and make it compatible with the new structure used in 6.0. Maintain the NQ integration is quite easy and consists on copying two jar files and the FS context and provider util from the MQ folder to the user exit folder of the WPG affected component. Concerning the user exits, no code or configuration change is required, but they need to be recompiled using the 6.0 BCG SDK jar in the class path. Go to the next slide, slide number 35. Okay, this is the last slide concerning the post-migration actions and is specific to migrations coming from 422 and 600 releases. 4.1 in the AS1, AS2 viewer, the MDN state for the migrated transactions will be shown, will show an unknown icon. Then the WPG 620 uses an improved collating sequence to sort the Unicode data. Now, if you have an Oracle, that data is performed performed dynamically by the upgrade script. For DB2, you have to do a little more work because the update cannot be done on existing databases. So the trick is to back up the migrated WPG database, delete the database, create a new one, and then restore the backed up database into the newly created one. Last thing to be aware of is that the 6.1 logging and tracing is now handled through the WASAdmin console. Let's move on to the next slide. Slide number 36. The next and last section of this presentation is an appendix dedicated to the highlights and the visualization through screenshots of some key points of the migration process. Let's move on to the first slide in the appendix, slide number 37. Here is the screenshot showing what the KeyStore folder looks like after the new hub has been installed. You can see the new BCG Security and BCG Security Trust JKS along with the 422 or 600 console and the receiver KeyStore and the Trust Store. If, on the other hand, the migration came from 6.1x release, then you'd have the BCG Security and the BCG Security Trust JKS only, which is the reason for backing them up before performing the migration, because the new installation would overwrite them. So we need to restore them after migration completion. Let's move on to slide number 38. This is an example of a console key pair that was used in the 422 or 600 release, which needs to be exported from the console JKS and then imported into the BCG Security JKS to be used, if needed, of course, in the 620 console. Yeah, this is basically an optional, let's put it this way, step. Let's go on to slide 39. If the system pre-migration had the client authentication turned on, as we mentioned, be aware that the migration process does not carry it into the migrated system. Here, the left screenshot shows the client authentication being true in the system before migration, whereas the query run after the migration shows the setting as false. So the user will need to manually run the script to restore the setting to its original value. Let's move on to slide 40. In this slide is shown the very panel in the WASP console where you need to switch the Trust Manager being used from the default IBM X509 to IBM PKIX. This, of course, in case you have V1 or root certificates. Let's go on to the next slide, slide number 41. If the migration is from 422 or 600, when you open your XML format the first time after migration, an error message in red ink, like the one in the screenshot on the left side, will notify you that the XML format has errors that need to be corrected. So you need to fill in the additional information needed to make this work. As shown in this case, you need to select the document type from the pull-down and then fill in the family identifier missing information. Let's go on to slide 42. Starting from WPG 6.1.0, WebSphere MQ is not needed anymore to allow WPG components internal communication. However, for customers that would like to keep using it for a JMS integration, a very simple operation is required that that is copy the FS context and the provider util jar from the nqjava/lib folder to the lib user exit folder of the WPG components. So if you want to keep using your JMS receiver, then you need to copy this jar into the receiver lib user exit folder. Likewise, if you want to keep using your JMS destination, then you have to copy this jar into the router lib user exit folder. Let's go to the next slide, slide number 43, which shows the AS1, AS2 viewer, where 422 or 600 transactions run before the migration are reported with the unknown icon. So let's move on to slide 44. Logging and the tracing are no longer using the log4j format and are not handled in the component property files. Now WPG 6.2.0 logging and tracing needs to be handled via WAS console. The example in the slide shows in the left screenshot the default setting, whereas in the right screenshot is the setting used to capture in the log more detailed debug information. Let's move on to the next slide, slide number 45. This chart includes link to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for the WebSphere products. The developer works offer in-depth technical information. Then the events link on support pages points you to webcast and the conference information. Then you can visit the WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get the new user up the learning curve quickly. And the SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open update and view PMRs online. And my notification link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. This concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Max, for a great presentation. At this point, Carrie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Currently at this time, there are no questions.
Thank you, Carrie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.